With the help of the Lord, I have this is something that really is really speaks to me personally. I'd like to speak this morning. Appreciate your prayers. I'd like to talk about overcoming our fears. We have a lot of things, and today I've been thinking about. And I don't feel like the Lord just necessarily gave me a message that really goes along with the day that we celebrate today, which is Independence Day. But you know, the Lord wants us to be free in every way. He wants us to be free in our spirits and in our souls. A lot of people have been imprisoned down through the ages that were freer than people that never had any bondage in their bodies or in their physical state. Jesus came to make us free, and a lot of us are bound by fears and other things. Jesus said that I came to open the prison to them that are bound. And one of the ways that we can be bound this morning is through fear. And I would that we could understand this morning what Jesus came to help us to overcome. One of the things, you know, some fear is good. Jesus said, "Fear not them which kill the body, but fear him that when he hath killed the body hath power to cast into hell." And so we need to have a healthy fear and a reverence for God and for the things of God, a respect of God, a fear of doing wrong, a fear of not obeying the Lord, a fear. And so a lot of times that fear is going to be set against another fear that we have, and that is the fear that we need to overcome. And there was a person that I was in contact with a while back, and I was talking to him, and I said, "You know, I really I admire the fact that you do this." And he said, "Well," I said, "I know this is not what you wanted to do, and it's not your natural tendency to do it. You're going way out of your comfort zone to do this." And he said, "Well, I'm more afraid not to do it." And so I think that sometimes we need to consider all the factors and think, well, what will happen if I don't do this? But I'd like to go to Acts, the 4th chapter and the 13th verse. And so this is a story of Peter and John. We probably all are familiar with this story. They came to the temple to pray, and there was a lame man outside, and he said, he asked for money. He was begging. And Peter and John said, "Silver and gold, I don't have any silver and gold, but you can have, I'll give you what I've got. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And so they did that, and people started coming together, and they healed the man by the power of God, and the people started coming together, and they said, "What happened here?" And so they had an opportunity to preach Jesus unto those people, because they saw that a miracle had been done, and the rulers were not happy. So we'll pick it up in about the 13th verse of Acts, the 4th chapter. I don't know how much I'll read here, but it said, "When they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, 'What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name.' And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus." But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people, for all men glorified God for that which was done. So if we skip down a little bit to the 24th verse. Well, remember how it said in the 13th verse, it said when they saw the boldness of Peter and John. So Peter and John were not afraid to tell what had happened. Jesus had just been crucified. There was a lot of fear that was running. The fear that they had at first so totally possessed them that they all forsook Jesus. In the garden, they all left him. They knew who he was. They knew what he could do. And they all left him. They scattered. Peter came. He came back to see what was going to happen. And he denied Jesus. Well, the Lord sent the Holy Spirit. We know what happened. They waited in the upper room. The Lord sent the Holy Spirit. It gave them power that they had not had before. And so they went and they started preaching the gospel of Jesus. They knew what the gospel was about. They knew what it could do. They knew how powerful it was. And so they came and they started doing, and they did miracles and they did things like that. And then here come the same people again. And they said, don't you speak any more in this man's name or you're going to be sorry. And so that the boldness that they had at first was kind of overshadowed, or something came against them. There was a fear that said, you shouldn't do this anymore. Look at what they prayed. They came back and they all gathered together. It said that they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, in which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David hath said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? So maybe we'll skip down a little bit to the 29th verse. It said, now, Lord, behold their threatenings. Now, I want us to notice what they said here. They didn't say, Lord, you know, we can't really say anything anymore because it's too dangerous. And there's too much risk here. And you understand, you know our hearts, you know we can't do this. But Lord, you're greater than anything. And you can speak to these people's hearts and you can spread the gospel without us, and you can send your word here and you can send your word there. No, that's not what they did. Even though the Lord is capable of doing anything. But the Lord uses you and I to do things for Him. That's the way He set it up. That's His plan. And they knew that. They not only knew that, but they knew the Lord had called them to do certain things. You know, there's a difference between being fearful of doing something that's just, you know what, I'm scared. I'm scared to drive my car off the side of the road when there's a deep drop-off. But if there was something that was maybe even that risky that I knew in my heart that the Lord had told me to do, then there's a difference, you see. The very same fear that you have, the Lord said, it's written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. When the devil took him up and he said, jump down from the temple. Because he said he was going to give his angels charge over you. You know the Lord will give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. And anything that happens to you is because the Lord allow it if you stay in his will. If it's something that the Lord wants you to do, you don't have to be afraid. But fear was trying to overtake these people anyway. And so they said, now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. They didn't say, Lord, take away the difficulties. Lord, destroy the priests and the rulers. Lord, put us in another country that's a lot more receptive to hear your word. No, they said, Lord, we have this job and it's right here and it's right now. It's with these people that are against you, and we know that you want us to spread your word. We know that you want us to say things that are potentially very offensive to these people. And so, Lord, all we are asking is that you help us and quell the fears that are inside us and give us boldness that we may do what you want us to do. By stretching, now Lord, behold thy threatenings and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. By stretching forth thy hand to heal and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. You know, Jesus said when he was teaching his disciples to pray, they said, Lord, how do we pray? And he gave them a prayer to pray, but it's not something that we should take in a literal sense such as, well, when we pray, we're going to say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He gave them a pattern, a guide. This is the kind of things I want you to ask for. This is the kind of things I want you to tell me. He said, let thy kingdom come. Let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Everything that's going to be done, we want it to be to further your kingdom. We want your kingdom to come. We want it to come in the hearts of people. We want your will to be done. Anything, if you put something in my heart that you want me to do, help me to have boldness enough to do it. Help me to be able to cast out the fears. Did you know that there are many things that we sidestep and the Lord is limited, if you want to call it that, and his plan does not get done in that area, or he has to call somebody else because we let our fears overcome us instead of us overcoming our fears. So it said when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. You know, we live in a country today that is free, but it is becoming not quite so easy in certain context, in certain situations, to say things that the Lord. There are things right now that I can preach in this pulpit that I would not be legally allowed to preach in Canada. There are things that there, it is not free everywhere. But yet the word of God is the same. The laws change and people change and the rulers change, the governments change, and the Lord wants us to be peaceful, law-abiding citizens, except when it comes to a conflict between the law of the government and the law of God. And in those cases, the Lord wants us to stand for what's right, to proclaim the truth in the right spirit and under his direction and in wisdom. But the Lord wants us to not be afraid. There are fears that will come, and they came to these same apostles who, after they had conquered their fear of being seen with Jesus and the Holy Spirit gave them power, they had to come back again and say, Lord, these fears are trying to overtake me once again. Give me boldness. You know, it's not a sin to have fear come because the devil brings it. The Lord's not going to hold us responsible for that, but it's what we do with it. When the Lord said, fear not, it didn't mean that if you have a shadow of fear coming to your heart, that you've sinned and now you're disqualified from doing the work of the Lord. No, it's that we have to fight the fear and we have to quell it. And we have to say, Lord, grant boldness that I may do your will. Thy kingdom come. May thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. I want to go to 2 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, and look a little bit at what Paul did. Paul is a really, really amazing guy because of what the Lord did in his life. He had a really bad past. He had some things that he was really ashamed of. But he became probably he's the poster child of fearlessness in the Bible. But look what he said. He made 3 missionary journeys before he was put in fetters. And so he's writing to the Corinthians. And Corinth was a city that was a little to the south of Macedonia. Macedonia is an area up here, kind of in the Greek peninsula there. And Paul made several trips there this is what he's talking about. He is talking about the third trip that he made, the third missionary trip, but the second, I believe, to Macedonia. The first one, he went up into Galatia and some over here, but then the second and third trips, he came into Macedonia and he passed through Corinth. So while he was on his third missionary journey, he wrote his second letter to the Corinthians. And he said, "Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears." You know, there even Paul, who went all over the place, he did things, but he had to struggle with fears that came up in his life. He said, "Without were fightings, within were fears. Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus." And then he goes on, the cities that Paul visited when he was in Macedonia, Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea, those were some of the places that were in the province or the kingdom of Macedonia. Philippi was the place where Paul went and he was going down the streets with Silas, and this woman that had an evil spirit came and was following them around, and she did it day after day after day. And she would say, she had a religious spirit is what she had, and she would say, "These people are the servants of the Most High God, which show us the way to salvation." After a while, Paul had had enough of it, and I would like to think that he was led by the Spirit of the Lord here. I think he was. And he turned and it was the power of God that cast her out, cast the devil out. And he said, "I command you to come out of her." And the devil came out of that woman. Well, that woman was a source of great financial gain to her handlers. And so they became upset. They took Paul before the magistrates. The magistrates threw Paul and Silas into prison. They had a lot of tough things to deal with in those places. And while they were in the prison, you know, they could have said, "Well, we went too far this time. We should have just shut up. We should have just let this go on. But now we're in prison. All the work that we came here to do is going to be for naught." Because some of those prisons were something else. They didn't have a network where every prisoner had an ID and they were looking to see that they had all their food and their medications and all. Sometimes people, if they didn't have family there that knew who they were and could care, there were people that would die in those prisons. It was a horrible place. They didn't treat them very good. They didn't feed them real well. And now Paul and Silas that have come to proclaim the gospel to Philippi are cast into prison. Some of the worst fears that the devil may have put on them had now seemingly been realized. But you know, Paul and Silas, instead of just cowering down under that, and they started singing praises to God. Right there in the prison, it said that the prisoners heard them. And we won't turn there, but it said that suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. And I have to think that the situation that Paul and Silas were in was I know that the Lord wanted to put them in that very place so he could do something spectacular to show the people what he wanted to do to every soul. He wants to loose the bands off of you and me. Why would he go to the trouble, or why would he do that where everybody, all of a sudden there, you know, he didn't do that with Peter. He just knocked his chains off. Peter crawled out of there in the middle of the night. That's not how he did with Paul and Silas. He wanted to send a message to Philippi, to the people there. And so everybody in the jail, their chains got knocked off, and the jailer came in and saw what was going on, and he knew, if I don't kill myself, I'm gonna suffer a lot worse things at the hands of my boss. And so he drew his sword and he was about to kill himself. And Paul said, "Nobody's escaped. Don't hurt yourself." And then the Philippian jailer, I believe, became the very first convert in that city. And from then, there a massive work began to be established. We have a letter that Paul wrote to the Philippian church that's still with us, one of the greatest blessings in the Bible that we have today, all because Paul and Silas would not let fear overcome them. But they overcame their fear and spake the word of God with boldness, went and did the things that the Lord wanted them to do. Now, I want to look at, just look at Gideon real quick. So we know what happened. Gideon, the Lord sent an angel to Gideon and said, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." And Gideon said, "Well, I don't feel like a mighty man of valor." And he said, "Why are we being troubled by the Midianites?" And the Lord said, "I am going to deliver Israel by your hand." And Gideon said, "Well, show me a sign." And so the Lord let him prove him. And he put out a fleece. And then he said, you know what? The same night it said, the Lord said unto him in Judges 7:9. So he had gathered all these people together. And they had already gone through this process of elimination, where the Lord, he had 32,000 men, okay? And the Midianites had 121,000. Those are odds that maybe a really great military general could do something with. Somebody that was a really great military power, odds of 1-4, yeah, there's been more impressive stuff done than that by great military generals. The Lord didn't want Gideon to be lifted up as a great military general, either by the people or within his own heart. And so he said, I'm going to do something. I'm going to take away some of your men because you have too many. Well, I'm convinced that the way he did the divisions was not just simply for the purpose of cutting down his men so that he would only give glory to God. But there were some other things in play too. The Lord said, "I don't want anybody. See, I'm going to work a miracle here." But the people that are fearful are not going to be able to witness it. So he said, "Anybody that's fearful, go ahead and tell them to go home." So 22,000 men went home. That is not to say that there was nobody there that had fearful thoughts. But the people that lived in fear more than they trusted God and let fear overcome them and rule their heart, where they were fearful to do the thing that the Lord said he would perform. Those are the ones the Lord said, "I want you to go home." You know, I wonder what happened to those 22,000 men. I wonder what kind of things that the Lord had for them in the future that now they couldn't have those things because they didn't have a stepping stone of faith to build on. "I saw this. I was there and I saw this." But there were 300 men that did. There were 300 men that went home after that battle. And I would say that they were ready in their spirits for anything, because they knew that the same God that had delivered them out of the hand of the Midianites. What's 300 against 120? I don't even know the ratio to that. That's like one in 300. Something like one in 400. It's a really, really big ratio. There's no military. Did you do the math?
Yeah, it's 1 in 403.
1 in 403. Okay. So there's no military general that's going to be able to overcome odds like that. It was the power of the Lord and the power of the Lord alone. But you know, okay, so after he trimmed it down to 300 men, guess what? There was still somebody left that was a little bit fearful. You know who it was? It was Gideon. And so in the 7th chapter, in the 9th verse, It said it came to pass the same night, I believe this is the same day that the Lord trimmed his army from 32,000 men down to 300 men. Gave it 100-to-1 reduction. The Lord said, "Arise, get thee down into the host, for I've delivered it into your hand. But if thou fear to go down with Phurah, thy servant, down to the host. And if thou shalt hear what they say, and afterwards shall thy hands be strengthened, and thou shalt hear what they say, and afterwards shall thy hands be strengthened to go down." So evidently he had some fear still, so he went down. It was not that he was not, that he was letting his fear conquer him, but he was doing the very same thing the apostles did. "Lord, I want to be bold for you, and I want to do this for you, but I have some fears and I'm struggling with this. I need your help." The Lord does not upbraid us for telling him we need his help. He already knows it. He was just waiting for us to ask anyway. And so he went down. I'd say if he didn't have any fear in his heart, he wouldn't have done that. He would have said, "I don't need to do that. It's a waste of time. I'm going to go." But he did. He went down. And so it said, "When Gideon," in 13th verse, "was come, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow and said, 'Look, behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley tumbled into the host of Midian, and came into a tent, and smote it, that it fell and overturned it, that the tent lay along.' And his fellow said, answered and said, 'This is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel, for into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host.' And it is so, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped and returned to the Lord of hosts of Israel and said, 'Arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian.'" And then we know what happened. The Lord wrought a great victory in Israel that day. Not by the hand of Gideon, but by his own power. Gideon was just a vessel. He was just somebody that the Lord wanted to use. But the Lord had to use people that were not afraid, that believed in him, that believed that he would work in his power what he had promised to do. And so I want to go to one more thing and one more scripture real quick and talk about David. So David in 1 Samuel, the 17th verse, David, he's a young boy. I believe that I can infer by the scripture that David was not. He was not a big, strong guy. Compared him to his brother, and his brother was quite stout and... Anyway, David was just a little guy. He kept the sheep, but he learned some things while he was out keeping the sheep. There's so much in this story. I don't know. There are just so many lessons to learn. You know, David lived for the Lord, and he wanted to serve the Lord. The Lord didn't start him out on the big stuff. David probably had no idea when he was keeping the sheep of his father that he was doing exactly what the Lord wanted him to do right then. And you know, you and I, the Lord's going to have us keep the sheep, so to speak, sometimes. And we're going to do things and we think, and we see other people going out and doing this and that, making great expeditions and whatever it is. And we think, "Well, Lord, what do you want me to do?" You know, what the Lord wants you to do, if you're honest, he'll show you. But you know, the Lord had some difficulties and some fears for David to overcome right there while he was keeping the sheep. There was a day where keeping the sheep was not exclusively the will of the Lord for him anymore. He went down to see a battle, and there he saw someone that was probably half again his height. Somebody that was formidable. And he put the whole host of the Israelites in fear of this man. And David said, "Why are you all afraid of this guy? He's defying the host of the Lord. Is there not a cause?" You know, that's a question that we all need to ask ourselves. Is there not a cause? When there's something that comes before us and it threatens to destroy the work of the Lord or the progress of the gospel or there are people that we can see that they're struggling in their souls. And there's something that needs to be overcome. Even if it's not us ourselves, we see somebody else doing it. You know, we are our brother's keepers. You know, there are things that we can do and there's battles that we can fight. We can fast and we can pray for other people. We can help other people. We can advise and admonish sometimes other people. I would say that those things need to be done with the express direction of the Lord. But David came and he said, is there not a cause? And so he said, I'll go fight the Philistine. I'll go fight Goliath. And in this 32nd verse, David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. Only looking on the natural. How many times do we just look on the natural? Do you know if we look on the natural, there's many things that will not work out in our lives. And there's many things that we'll not be able to do. There's many things that we're going to shrink back from and say it's not wise. We've got to use wisdom, and we do. But wisdom is following the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the Lord is going to call you and I. I'm not going to stand up here and say, you know, He may not ever call you to do anything that has risk to it. The Lord is going to call you and I to do things in our life that the only thing that we're going to, the only way out of it is either to do it and have a great testimony for it or to shrink back from it. And I don't recommend that. So David said, Saul said, he's a man of war from his youth. He's always, and besides, look at the size of him. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. So see, he already has a story. You know, the Lord wants each of us to know Him for ourselves. He doesn't want us to just, you know, if we are a church of people and all we do is look back and rely and look to things that the Lord's done in other people's lives. Well, look what the pioneers, the people that started this church, look what the Lord did for them. And you know that's not enough. The Lord wants to do things in your life and mine. The Lord wants you to have testimonies because there are things that are going to come. You know, the Lord wants you to bear weight. He wants you to be a pillar in His church. Every one of you, He wants you to be a pillar in His church. That doesn't mean that everybody's going to do the same thing. But He wants you and I to each have a job. And to do those things, we're going to have some personal testimonies of what the Lord... There was no way out but the Lord. The Lord did this. And David said, thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb. I believe he's talking about two separate times. There came a lion and took a lamb. And then there came a bear and took a lamb. And you know, I'm thinking, I want us to get a mental picture of David and the lion and the bear, okay? So David's out here, and he's got his staff, and he's got his rod, and he don't have any guns or even a bow and arrow. And here's the sheep, and it's a real beautiful day, and the breeze is blowing, and he's out there making daisy chains and picking clover and all the stuff that, and looking at ants and nature and stuff. And all of a sudden, he sees over in the distance this big lion. Okay? Well, I'd have to pray, because I'm afraid that if the Lord didn't really help me, that I would let the lion get a big old fat sheep and I'd go home to my house. Well, that's not what he did. You see, it said that the lion, it's not that he just... Maybe he was trying to herd the sheep out of there. I don't know. But it said a lion took a lamb from my father's flock. And he said, instead of, you know, he could have just said, well, sorry, Dad. Is there a dad on this earth that this excuse or reason would not work? Dad, I'm sorry. There was a lion. He had the sheep in his mouth. I'm sorry you lost one of your sheep today because there was a lion. You know, if it was a fox, Jesse might have said, "You slothful son, why didn't you kill the fox?" But it was a lion. No. You know what? David had a job from the Lord right then. He could have justified and said, "No, I don't want anything to do with that." But the Lord, I believe, moved on him to kill the lion. Not so he could have bragging rights. Not so he could become some sort of a legend in his village. But so that he would have a stepping stone where he could say, "I can kill Goliath because I killed the bear." It wasn't that he was great physically. He didn't have anything to brag about. But he said, "I went after him and smote him when he arose against me." You know, he went after him, and wisdom, human wisdom, would have said, "Don't go after that lion and smite him." So you go, I'm just seeing him taking his rod and just hitting that lion as hard as he can. Well, wisdom would say, human wisdom would say, if you smite the lion, the lion's going to drop the sheep and turn to you. And that's exactly what he did. But it said, when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. He did the same thing with a bear. And he said, "The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." So it wasn't anything that the Lord, that David was able to say, "You know what? If I can kill a lion and a bear, I think that I have the capability of killing a Philistine." No, he said, "The Lord helped me kill the lion, and the Lord helped me kill the bear. And the Lord will help me to kill this Philistine too, because this is the Lord's will. I don't care. You know, I know I'm just a youth, and I know he's been a man of war from his youth, and I know he's bigger than I am, and he's covered with armor, and I'm not, and he's got a spear, and I don't. And even if I do have a spear, he can throw his a lot farther than I can throw mine. But I don't care, because the Lord wants me to go kill him. I'm going to go kill him. And the Lord will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine." And so Saul recognized, either he recognized that he wasn't going to be able to change his mind, or he recognized that the Lord was really with him. He said, "Go, and the Lord be with thee." And we know what happened. The Lord, again, wrought a great victory in Israel that day. But how many times do we allow fears to bind us and to abide with us? And they come, and the Lord really has power to totally get rid of the bad situation. But instead, we live under those fears, and we don't do this, and we don't do that, and we don't take actions that the Lord wants us to take, and the Lord wants us to speak to this person, and we don't do it because we have fears that come up in our heart. You know, the Lord, sometimes we think that we have giants in our life, and all they are is lions and bears, which is pretty formidable in and of itself. But there are times, there are things that the Lord wants us to do that maybe we have no idea, and we couldn't even think about doing them now. But the Lord's going to send a lion, and he's going to send a bear. He's going to send lots of other things, littler things. Who knows? There may have been things before the lion and the bear that David knew, and David said, "Lord, you help me with this over here, and you can help me with the lion, and you can help me with the bear." Abraham said, "Is anything too hard for God?" You know, sometimes I wonder if we really know who we worship. Is anything too hard for God? Is there something that the Lord wants you to do, and you're not doing it because you're afraid? You know, Jesus wasn't about to jump off the temple wall because he said, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." I'm not going to go outside and pick up a snake and say, "Well, the Lord said the snakes won't bite me, so I'm going to pick him up." You know, I believe that if there was a situation where I had to pick up a snake by the power of the Lord, and the Lord wanted to keep me, he would. I don't know what the situation would be. Maybe to get it off somebody else. Or I don't know. But there are situations that look impossible. And I want to tell you, I have been through situations personally that were impossible by human means. And the Lord delivered me out of this and that again and again and again. And the Lord does not want to just have a person here and a person there that He's going to do that to. He wants to do that to everyone. He wants everybody to have knowledge, living, active, experiential knowledge of the power of God in their lives to deliver them, to give them boldness, to give them courage, to give them strength, to do whatever it is that the Lord is calling them to do. I wonder how different your life and mine would be if the Lord never intervened. If the Lord just let everything take its course. Do you know the Lord goes before us and He winnows our path and He makes things exactly tailor-made for us? You know, I think of Stephen. Did things go like he planned? You know, he got in a situation. He was full of the Holy Ghost. He was full of the power of God. And you can look at the things that he did. And he did some things to make the rulers very upset. But you know, the Lord had a message for the rulers. And Stephen was the one to give it. And so we won't turn there. It's a lot of reading. But did Stephen lose? Did Stephen lose? It looks like he did. If you look at it through human means, it looks like he did because, you know, we all want to preserve our health and our life and all of our things and everything. It's a human, a natural desire. But Stephen got in a place where he had a choice to make. And in this story, again, there are so many things to get out of it. Stephen, he had an opportunity. The priest that he went before the, I guess it was the Sanhedrin or whoever it was. He was before people that had the authority to put him to death. And they said, "Are these things so, what you've been doing?" And you know, Stephen could have answered him so much differently. He could have said, "You know what? I didn't really realize that I'd get in this kind of trouble. And I want to be at harm." Maybe the devil put fears in his heart and said, "You know what? If you say the wrong thing, you might lose your life. You might be tortured. You might be put in prison." And then, you know, along with fears, the devil also likes to introduce other elements of human reasoning. If you're dead, how are you going to help those priests? How are you going to spread the gospel if you're in prison? How are you going to do all these things? You know, the devil probably put those thoughts in Paul and Silas's mind too. And in that case, the Lord delivered them. And they were able to start a congregation right there in Philippi. Even though it said within were fears, the Lord was able by His power to dispel those fears and to not let them hinder Paul's work. But in Stephen's case, it was a little bit different. Stephen had an opportunity to kind of ease. They gave him a trial, okay? He had an opportunity to answer for himself. And so he could have said, "You know, I don't want to cause any trouble. And I'm kind of, you know, I'm sorry I said things in this way. And if you'll let me go, I'll try to watch what I say. And let's just all try to be at peace here. I'm really a good man. I want to do what's right." Well, you know what? The Lord had some people in front of Him that were very hard-hearted. It said that when He said what He said, they were cut to the heart. You know what that means? He reached them where they were. He reached the place that soft words and kind speeches couldn't reach. That doesn't mean that you and I need to go out and anytime someone won't listen to us, we need to rail on him. He was directly inspired by the Spirit of God to say the things that he said. Any other time, it would have been a mistake to say what he said. But he was inspired by God to say, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye." Which Which of the prophets have your fathers not persecuted? Everything that he said was right and true. He did that for several reasons. One, he had a love for their souls. It was the only thing that would reach them. You know, a lot of times when we shrink back in fear, you know what fear will do? Fear will stifle the love that we have for others, because there are things that we need to do and say sometimes that fear will not let us do, but love will constrain us to do. There are other times where fear will cause us to not do what the Lord wants us to. He loved their souls, and at the same time, there was something, a job that the Lord had given him. You know, there's sometimes that we might not even know the reason, and we don't know what the motivation is and what the implications are, but we know that the Lord wants us to do it. Stephen did that. Stephen was inspired to say certain things, and he went right ahead and said them, even though human reasoning would have said, if you say that, it's going to seal your fate. You're going to be doomed. And he was. And they put him to death and they stoned him. But did he lose? No, he didn't lose. He said, I see Jesus on the right hand of God. And all the way until his death, he demonstrated that he had not said what he said out of a spirit of revenge or anger. He said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. He had the right spirit. He was full of the Holy Ghost. And he had conquered his fear. Yes. And the Lord took him to heaven. And he's still there. And he'll be there forever and ever. He had a light affliction. And you know, he had a giant. The giant didn't kill him. It looked like he lost, but really there was great things that came from that. Saul was there. Jesus said, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. Saul was an intelligent man. He was a thinking man. He was also a man that really wanted to please the Lord. Otherwise, I don't think the Lord would have dealt with him like he did. And Saul himself said, I thought I was doing the Lord's will. You know, that day when Saul was there and he heard the things that Stephen said, don't you think that was one of the pricks that came into his heart? He said, wait a minute, this man has something that I don't have. And Stephen, you see, the Lord chose Stephen to be one of the ones martyred, probably the very first of all of the Christians that were martyred after Jesus. But there was a plan in that. You think we would have had the Apostle Paul and all of his writings if Stephen wouldn't have been martyred? I doubt it. I don't know. The Lord would have raised someone else up, maybe. I want to talk about just a couple other things here. I want to go to Genesis. Fears can bind us in many ways. Genesis 3. So, Adam and Eve had sinned. So they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and Eve hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. You know, a lot of people, you know, in your life, when you get saved, in 1 John 2, it says, my little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not. And in 1 John 3, it said that Jesus came. He was manifested so that he might destroy the works of the devil. Jesus came to give us power over sin. But you know what Jesus will not do? He will not take away our will. He can make us, give us power to overcome the things that are flesh wants to do, but we have to make the choice to do it. So there are times in our lives that we may decide, no, I'm not going to do what's right. I'm going to do this instead. When we do that, we put a separation between us and God. You know what happens when we do that? We become afraid. One time, I was talking with someone that said, you know what, I had a real good... He said, I'm really not having a good relationship with the Lord right now. I said, well, do you know why? Did you do anything to hinder that? Did you do anything that caused something to come between you and the Lord? He said, yeah. And he said, well, I don't really feel like the Lord wants me back now. I don't really feel like that I can come back. I'm afraid and I don't want to. I don't really want to talk to the Lord because I did this and He's been so good to me and I did this. And I said, well, look at what Adam. You know, Adam, the Lord put Adam in a perfect environment. He didn't even have a sinful nature. And He put the tree in there and He said, you can choose what you're going to do here. And the serpent tempted Adam and tempted Eve. And he fell, and you know, Adam's not even the one that was first tempted. Adam just did it. Adam made about the biggest blunder he could possibly make. He wasn't beguiled by the serpent. He didn't have a sinful nature. He was in a garden of paradise, and yet, after all that, he fell, and the Lord, you know, the Lord came looking for him anyway. And the Lord said, I want you back. But he thought, you know what? I don't want anything. I don't want to talk to the Lord now because I'm afraid. I'm afraid of what the Lord's going to do. You know, it says, my little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. But if you do, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. If you do something that you know is wrong, don't, you know, the very first thing you should do is run back to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm sorry, because He wants you. He wants you. He's the only one that can forgive you for one thing. And He already knows what you did. You know, the Lord came looking for Adam, but the Lord already knew where he was. But He wanted Adam. He wanted Adam to respond. He wanted Adam to tell Him where he was. And the Lord wants to do the same thing to you and I. When we fail, you know what we should do? We should not put a distance between ourselves and the Lord. The Lord's the very first person that we need to run back to when we do fail and we mess up and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Will you help me not to do that anymore? Will you forgive me? Will you take me back? Whatever it is that we've done, the Lord wants you and He wants I. And so many times I think people are afraid, just like Adam, and they hide and they distance themselves and they stagnate. And after a while, D.O. Teasley did that. One of the greatest, the Lord used him in many ways. He wrote many of our songs and he wrote all kinds. He was so inspired. But there was a time that he was tempted and he fell. And he had a great failure in his life. Do you know he never could forgive himself? He never could. The Lord was right there, had forgiveness for him. But he lost out and he died. He died like that with a distance between him and the Lord. He said he didn't even want the name of the Lord mentioned at his funeral. He wrote some of the most powerful songs I've ever heard in my life. And yet this man, after his failure, he could not forgive himself because he was afraid. That's what Adam did. You know, the Lord wants you and I to overcome our fears and to come to Him. Well, maybe that's enough. I had some other things here. I don't want to take too much time. I just want to get one more scripture that David wrote in Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of Thy enemies, mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. If you think about the scripture that we read at the very first in Acts the 4th chapter, they didn't ask for the Lord to get rid of their enemies. They said, Lord, all I want you to do is grant me boldness. You know, the Lord can keep us no matter what we are going through and no matter what surrounds us. Paul said, without were fightings. There were things that were around him all over. But the Lord, no matter how close the enemy looks, the Lord sets a boundary. If we will trust in him and we will not give over to fear, the Lord sets a boundary. It may seem like an invisible one, and it may seem like the devil is breathing in your face, so to speak, but the Lord has promised that he will set a boundary that the devil cannot pass, and he will feed you, and he will comfort you, and he will encourage you and help you to grow right in the face of everything else that's going on that the devil can launch against you. The Lord has a boundary of protection for his people. You pray for me.